Town Ruling Committee meetings for March the 3rd, 2014 will come to order. Please turn off our silence electronic devices. Mr. Rhodes, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Here.
Councilmember Bouguard?
Here.
Councilmember Reshar?
Here.
Councilmember Andre? Councilmember Nisler?
Here.
Attorney Acosta?
Here.
Mayor Norman?
Here. Minutes for the meeting of February 10th are in the package. If there's any change or corrections, let us know, or they'll be in the next time, of course. Public Works, give you all a police station update. If you haven't been out there, they took some pictures. They're making good, they're making okay progress on the building in the front. They had to polish the concrete, has a little bit of steel up, and has a little, there's a little bit more wall up than what you see there. It's taken a couple of days ago. But they seem to be making good progress there, finally up out of the mud. This is the archive building. Block walls are all up in it, so I'm not sure what the next step is. This is side view, I think they closed that in by now. But they make progress there, and this is the maintenance building. They've basically finished the outside of the metal building. Gotta go out there today, might be putting doors in, but it's mostly a shell. There's not gonna be a whole lot more to that. So they've got one roof and two, and three slabs, and hopefully they can make some progress. I thought it was interesting that, I happened to be in front of television the other night, and Jay Grimes was on, and he was talking about the rainfall that we've got in February. It was like, since 1931, was like in the top five amounts. And then, think about it, it's been spread out. It's been like every third day, it seems like. So they've, they stay a little bit behind schedule, but we're not scheduled pressuring them anyway. But it's, you know, they work when they can, and that's all they can do. Now, we don't have any additional plan changes. Apparently the plan must be pretty good. I expected more by now, but it seems to be going okay. Any questions or comments on the project? Anybody? Planning and zoning, meeting minutes for February 26th in your package. One item is preliminary plat, Orleans West, second filing, proposed 1-7, lots 1-7, located in such and such, for Dagger LLC, with a variance request for a dead-end street and another variance request for utility improvements. I don't see Sean Heim or anybody here for the developer, but as I understand it, I haven't had a chance to listen to the minutes of the meeting, but as I understand it, it was discussed, and it was passed along without recommendation to the council for consideration. So anybody wish to discuss it? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question, I guess it would be for either you or Roy, but one of the Orleans Quarters residents mentioned that the water drains from across that street towards his house. Is that an issue?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, have they...
He said it drains to his house, he must be right.
Well, I mean, is there a problem with the water draining from across the street, over the road, to the other side? I didn't know there was a problem.
Well, that's a swell right there between the sidewalk and the street. They didn't want a ditch to put a swell. That's where the water's supposed to go.
Orleans Quarters was set up to take the natural drainage from that west side that comes that way, from the north side. But the natural drainage of the area is trying to go to the north. That was the big deal we got into when we put those extra culverts at the end of Orleans Quarters going to the north, was to get that water to go that way quicker, the Tonton. So depending on how they, this development, depending on how he plans on putting in his drainage, we'll have to take a look at it.
I didn't bring my plat with me, but it looks like it's on, gonna be on the north side, or whatever. And then on the north side of the... Yeah, the digital north side.
I guess the question is, have we heard any reports of poor drainage prior to that coming from that area?
I haven't heard anything else.
Is
The 15-foot drainage servitude is on the north side.
Don, you brought up the comment on the sewer. What's the plan for the power and the water?
To come within the 50-foot right-of-ways at the four streets.
Same thing as the sewer.
Correct.
Don't go ahead, Don.
Meeting adjourned.
I think the big question at the meeting the other night was whether sewer and water are going to come down the streets, right? And the cul-de-sac variance, of course.
The tie-in?
Well, you know, they requested two variances, one on the cul-de-sac on each of the streets, which, to me, requiring a cul-de-sac on the end of a very short street is going to serve one lot on each side. I don't really have a problem with granting a variance to allow a street to go to the dead end there and serve those two streets. However, I think that if we're going to take away cul-de-sac, which is a little safer, we ought to require at the end of the dead ends, one of those galvanized guardrails with dead-end signs on each of the four streets, just from a liability, safety standpoint. The other one, on the utilities, I have a couple of comments and a couple of questions. They're not here tonight. This is really a unique situation. When the original Orleans subdivision was developed, those people who developed it, and subsequently those who bought the lots, and the added cost of the lot, because the developer had to pay 100% of the cost of that street and utilities for that subdivision, with only a projected 50% of revenues from the lot, because you only have lots on half of the street. So, you know, they paid a price at the beginning, you know. We've got seven lots here. Also, I think, looking at the future, these lots are so large that if you added up the 9,600 square foot in the R1 classification, each one of these lots in the future could be developed to include a total of 14 lots along the other side. You could take that first one, 500 feet long, cut it up, and, well, you can only go four lots per current lot size, because this would have to come under the section of lots not fronting on a public street, and the maximum you can have is four. And some of these are not big enough to have four anyway. Some of them you can only have three. So when I calculated it up, it could be a total of, if everybody subdivided to the maximum, you could have an additional 14 lots on the other side. And that doesn't count if in the future these streets are developed to the north. Then, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. I'm inclined to think that we should deny the variance request for the utilities and require a main line go across the street, so that in the future, if it does develop, we're not looking at, well, do we have the capacity and the flow to get, you know, to the main line on Orleans.
That's you concerned about the property development, like on the Melonson property? I mean, not Melonson, Toledo property?
Yeah.
So you would recommend breaking this up into two separate variance requests?
Yeah, two separate variance requests.
One for the cul-de-sac and one for the utility.
I don't think it's prudent planning to require a cul-de-sac on the lot, you know, on a street that has two lots.
Well, plus it may be extended.
Right, and then you're going to solve it and give it to each of them.
Same rationale applies to both the denial of one and the granting of the other. Anyone else?
I got to looking back when Orleans Quarters was the final plat. It had 14 variances for that final plat.
My folks had 27.
Well, the minute said 14 for that one. Orleans Water subdivision. But we talking about two variances here versus 14.
Right.
And that's why they got a sewer problem now, because they put the sewer line so high.
Now, another concern that I thought about is that the last, I know in Ruby Oaks, and then more recently near the elementary school on Stonewall Plantation, when we attempted to bore onto the street, we found nothing but sandy muck, and we had to end up cutting the street after all. And one of them was just recently, a street road just recently overlaid, brand new street that we tried to avoid it, but, you know, was no alternative. We had to. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to find when you attempt to bore here. If you're going to find the same thing, the river's real high. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but it's a consideration.
Anybody else?
If you were to be allowed to subdivide that property, would those houses then have to face that street on the backside, or what direction would they face, and it wouldn't matter?
If they met the requirements of Section 19.8, lots not fronting on a public street, they have to provide a 15-foot servitude along on the side, either side of the first lot to connect what they would subdivide in the back, plus they have to provide the utilities and so forth. But they could actually face either way. But quite probably you'd be looking at the side of the lots, just like you probably are on these initial seven. The side of houses, utility sheds, or whatever. Well,
yeah,
but on a normal, this is, like I said at the beginning, this is a unique subdivision. Normally, subdivisions, you look across the street to a landscaped front yard on the house across from you. In this case, you're going to be looking at primarily houses, the sides of houses, and utility sheds and so forth in their backyards, which would be hidden on a normal subdivision across the street in most cases. Not going to be hidden here. But I mean, it's, you know, people have a right to develop the property. They just have to do it in accordance with the codes.
I'm not sure we want to be looking at the side.
Well, that's an aesthetics. I wouldn't either.
It's not just aesthetic.
But, you know, the 5-foot strip.
People that live there.
Say again?
I said it's not just aesthetics. It's money for the people who actually live on the other side of the street. And the house value, which will go to nothing.
Well, aesthetics translates into property values.
Mm-hmm. And then going back to the beginning, like Mr. Don said, the previous property owner didn't want to put up half the money for a road, but he wanted to sell lots as soon as the road was built, which is not right.
So that's why the strip came.
That's why the strip comes back.
So the strip
wasn't there, most people would access the same street, and you'd be looking at normal subdivision with the fronts. But that didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
Is that because they didn't give them access to it, or what? Problem so.
They couldn't get together. Like already, the Hebert and the Dupreys got together, and each paid for half, and they had houses. So they only each paid half of the street and half of the utilities, which the only, in dealing with local governments throughout the region, I was trying to think in like, in 35 years, I've seen one other case of a strip privately on a subdivision. It was in the city of New Roads, but it wasn't along the length of the street. It was on, they reserved a private strip on the end of the road so that a development further down on the other side could not come back in and tie into their road. But that one and this one are the only two that I've ever seen.
So let me ask you a question, hypothetically. If they would have had access, the new developer would have had access to that strip, he probably would have faced the houses.
Oh, I'm sure he could have would have split it up, and he could get
would have been more than
this way you could get 14 under the not fronting on a public street. I mean 24. You can get a lot more than that if the lots face. I mean you could cut them up into 100 by 100. That would be 10,000 square feet and meet the 9,600 square foot of the R1 classification. So. You know, ever how long this is, divide about 100, take away the, whatever the street required every so often, then, you know.
The problem is, the strip, the five-foot strip got these 50-foot right-of-ways that allow access to the backside.
If, it's not a good situation from an aesthetic standpoint and property value.
No, but that was addressed a long time ago.
So we have to act on what we have.
No, what you have now.
Anyone else? Shall we move on? Okay, next one is discuss final plat showing this re-subdivision of 16.256 acres, tract into tract HT1 and HT2 located such et cetera in town of Brule for Hubert Thibodeau. Richard Sonia is here to represent the city. And that was discussed. Well, if you nod, just say so.
Yeah, I am.
It was discussed at the last meeting and reported out favorably by the plan. You don't have to, I mean. Foolish me, I thought I would run. Nah, this is doing this booty watch business, she'll tell me to tell you.
I'm taking directions.
I was about to say, if there's any comments, you know, anybody would like to discuss it, I'm sure you'd be happy to discuss it. But if you want to make a speech, you certainly don't want to do that. All right, having passed that, okay. Is there anybody wishing to discuss it? It's a pretty vanilla, taking a big piece of property and splitting it up into two pieces. Is that what we're doing? And, you know, Richard, I can't see that thing up there, and I don't have a drawing in front of me. Did you put an access, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put one all the way along there for you to go move around. Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, we had talked about that. All right, well, I was out of town when the thing finally came in, but anyhow, anybody want to talk about it? Okay, good, we'll move on. Thank you for your help, Richard.
Okay.
Top three derelict buildings, there was some activity. I took two of the buildings that were in the in progress, and I moved them to close because, and one of them, thank you, Richard, publicly, seriously, from the town of Brule for doing what you've done with that house. That house looks like a showcase house rather than a blighted piece of property. I know it was a hard time getting there, but it really looks good. And then the other one, I moved two of them. Oh, that's the Villiers property. They've done a good job with that. So I moved them down to the closed category. And we still got two that are really going slow, and we'll keep it on. I was talking to one of them this week, and another one is supposed to be coming to see me. I thought it was last week, but they'll probably come this week, so. One item, I was going to do in the mayor's report, there's a little bitty house at the end of Short Street. And one of the relatives of the neighbors came and talked to me about it, and by the time I could contact them, they had already knocked it down. It was, and it had termites, and it was falling apart. It wasn't even good for storage yet, so. We'll see, we'll give them some time, see if they can clean up the lumber and all that. If they do, then good. If not, then we'll just get back with them and have them clean it up. That was like a 48-hour from a notification to be taken care of, so. Anybody else have anything on that? All right, finance committee reviewed the February bills. Any package, any questions or comments on February bills? Council members get them ahead of time so they get to study. But like you said, Mr. Jordan, we didn't like work like that when you had it.
Excuse me?
You'd get the bills the night of the meeting, right?
Yeah.
We moved on from that. All right, anybody? Nobody? Investment report, Debbie, you can, I don't know how you can do one, but money moving in and out so fast.
Make that down, it's going to go down.
Yeah, it's really going to go down. Now that they've been able to, the last bill, they sent us $176,000. It's going to start accumulating pretty fast now. So it's really kind of hard to tell what we have actually, because it's a moving target. Personnel committee, I'm not aware of anything. Recreation, I don't have anything, but I want to, as part of my mayor's report, point out that the Brule wrestling team set a record for the most points by any team ever in history, and had 9 wrestlers win the state championship, and really, they had, I think, by far the best team we've ever had, and they just really steamrolled everybody over there. One kid, I think, came out 5th, but even the wrestlers who didn't come out first, they wrestled back and they came to 3rd, came out 3rd, so we had 13 wrestlers at 1st or 2nd, and 1 wrestler at 1st or 3rd, and the rest of them, 1st, 2nd or 3rd, and the rest of them, only 1 was 5th, so it was an impressive showing. Police committee discussed full-time position for Officer Casey Peralt.
Yes, I'd like to recommend next week that we already have her as a part-time employee, that we move her to fill a vacancy for our full-time position. But of course, she has all of the qualifications required, because we did approve to hire part-time, but she wants to leave Plaquemine and come up here for a little more pay and better benefits.
So she's working for the Plaquemine Police Department now?
She's full-time.
Full-time there?
She's part-time for us.
Yeah, so she'd come to work with us full-time.
She wants to come.
Wear a uniform, tickets, the whole 9 yards.
She'd be a patrol officer?
Yes, just like what the other guys did.
That would rate there?
The same rate we approved her at, part-time was 15 and 15.
And how many years' experience does she have?
Casey has 3 or 4, I'm not positive on that. I'll try to have her, well, she will be here next week. She's working a parade tonight in Plaquemine.
She's the one we approved to do backlog and stuff we had, right?
No, that was another, that was Christy. We hired Casey as a part-time patrol officer.
Oh, she's, okay.
Yes. She's post-certified, has the matrix. She actually had a polygraph and all that good stuff.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Is there a nice question at this point?
We're going to be getting to you in a little while.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do the police committee. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Right now.
How many full-time police officers do we have in the town?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
7?
Yes, sir.
How many are on shift at one time?
1.
1?
Yes, sir.
So we got 7 police officers.
Yes, sir.
One on shift at a time.
2 of those are in the school resource office.
Okay. I want to know how many police officers we have out there on the street at one time.
1 at a time.
So we have 1 at a time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how many youth service events do we have in the town?
Plenty.
Plenty?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have crime increased in the city?
I think so. I think the nature of what we're seeing is a lot worse than it used to be. Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, let me apologize to the council and to the town of Greeley. I've been an absent member. It shall not be that way anymore, because I've seen things since I've been in this wheelchair. Over the last 15 days, I sat in my window doing nothing but look out my window. I live on Road Drive, and it's Indianapolis 500. Somebody's child is going to die. Somebody's child is going to die on that street. I called the police, which brings me to another point. I'll get to that point in a second. I called the police, talked to him about it. I called the mayor today. I got to tell you, the mayor today. He suggested I come here tonight and voice my concerns, which I am. I shouldn't be out of cold, but I'm here because it's important to me. Okay, it should be important to us. I sit here and I listen to us approve new subdivision plots. I come in on the buddy and others, so I didn't get it. And here we are here in this town, the same amount of police officers on the street as it did when I was on the council 12 years ago. I think that is pathetic. I think it's pathetic. And I think we send the town up for a major lawsuit. And I just hope and pray that there's not nobody's in here, child or grandchild or relative, that get hit by a car. Because see, out here, we have the same problem on Arlene Street and on Live Oak. But if I drive right out there on LA1 right now, there's probably an officer sitting out there on the LA1. I understand revenue. And I understand giving tickets to guys speeding through our town. But I want to protect our children. And I don't think we're doing a good job protecting our children And I think all of us in here is to blame for that. All of us in this, let me take one. I remember when there was a child hit on Murray Drive by a vehicle. Was hit. She didn't get killed. But she got banged up pretty good. In fact, she was one of my students. And she still walked with a limp. And I'm telling you guys that is totally, totally unacceptable. Okay? And as men and women of this community, we should do something about that. Instead of us, you know, reaching for the stars, and we should protect the citizens of this town. I don't think that's being done. I don't know whose fault. I'm not here to fix blame or fault. I just need the problem to be fixed. And the way I see it going now is not being fixed. Okay? Another point in time. I called the police the other day. It took me 13 minutes for somebody to answer the phone. I was told that, okay, well, you must have called during the time of the switchover and this, that, and the other. Well, we had that issue with 12, 14 years ago when I was on the council.
Mr. Jordan, what phone number was it?
749, they go to the switchboard at 4:30.
Yes, sir.
Okay, which I think is unacceptable. Let me tell you something. I have, with the smartphones and things today,
yes.
Anybody in this room can tell me that phone couldn't be forwarded to a police officer, chief, or the person in charge so they can answer that phone.
What time of day was it?
It was about 5, it was after the time.
Yes, sir, so we should have
I got all the excuses.
Yes, sir.
I'm
asking because I'm not aware.
Oh, you mean the officer didn't tell you?
No, sir.
Okay, then that's another problem, because he came to my house, he took a report. And I told him specifically to make sure that the chief knew, and I told him I was going to call you this morning.
Yes, sir.
Which I did, but I could not get a hold of you, and I talked to Sergeant Robinson.
Okay.
I guess he's the assistant chief.
He's a sergeant.
He's a sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Okay, which I still think is unacceptable. I should be able to get a hold of my chief of police.
Yes, sir.
You know, and without any question. I mean, this is not New Orleans, the bad news, this proof.
My cell phone's on the website, the office number, everything.
Yeah, okay. But Jamie, we had another citizen also that called, could not get you, went to the police station, left a message.
Called on what, Ms. Rose?
Cell phone. She called. I don't know what she called. Went to the police station and left a message for you to call.
Okay.
Never called. There was 4 incidents where she tried to get you and couldn't, and then dropped the issue.
I'm not aware of that either.
Yeah, you are.
Well, we'll talk about that too, okay?
Well, yeah, I'm not here to the poke and pry anybody. I want the problem fixed, you know? Because the problem got to be fixed here. Don't be fixed, I'm going to take further because I'm just passionate about that. Somebody's child is in danger. We're in danger. I go to therapy every morning, Wednesday, Friday. All I can hear about how damn rules, how people are bringing in people houses and stuff, and jumping the fences and stuff, and lawn going off and stuff, and it taking the police a enormous amount of time to get there and stuff. You know, because there isn't enough police officers on the street. We are studying, you know, last time I came to this council chamber was about the new development back there by Oregon Drive. And I think I stated, I'm all for it if we make sure we got the infrastructure to support it. And I don't think we have the infrastructure if we don't have the police officers to support it. I want to go to sleep at night knowing that they got more than one police officer in Tom Cooley, one guy out there. You know, we got to depend on the sheriff department. Are we that broke? And we can't have some police officers that our own to take our own people? Man, come on. I look at our financial report. You know, we're doing well. But we're not spending the money I think where the money should be spent. And that's on the town of Brutley and the citizens of Brutley. I don't feel safe in Brutley anymore. I really don't. I thought long and hard about it. Thought about putting a sign out my yard. I know that. Don't bother that. That's not none of your concern. So I can get on out of Brutley. You know, because I just, I see really going down for as, you know, the support. You know, I love this little town, man. That's why I built my house here. Okay? But I'm very disgruntled, and it's part of my fault. It's part of my fault. I will be engaged in this town from this day forward, when I got to crawl over here. Because what we are doing or not doing for the citizens of this town is not right. That's how I feel, and I have my say, and I just want to see some action. I don't want to hear all the excuses. I don't want to hear about the rollover to the, you know, the dispatcher and stuff. I can go right now and get my grandson to fix my phone where all my phone calls that come to my house roll over to my cell phone so I can answer. Now, why is that not possible for our town to bring our chief of police?
We dispatch through a...
It's not working, Jamie. It's broke. That's what I'm telling you.
I don't understand why the phone...
No, that's only if you call 911.
I don't call 911.
Call the town. He's talking about somebody who looks at a phone book,
okay,
and says, I don't have a life and death situation, but I need a police officer.
Exactly.
You can call 911. It's not recommended. Yeah. But if they're going to look in the phone book, they're going to see the phone number. He's talking about the phone rolling over to the officer on duty. I'm not sure about it, but I'm pretty sure every one of them, we pay them to carry their own cell phone. I know Wayne and Eric and those other and Curtis and all of them, their cell phones, when there's a call out in the sewer, it rolls from Wayne to Eric to them, no matter, 24 hours a day. And he's right. You can get a phone to roll over to the person. It just got
to
be done.
Roll over to dispatch.
So that dispatch doesn't do it. They don't answer the phone. They don't answer the phone.
They're not answering the phone. We got a problem with either.
Well.
Because we pay a tax to this big, beautiful 911 center to dispatch for Bruin, West Baton Rouge Sheriff's Office, everybody.
So what I'm hearing is, the next time, call 911.
No, sir.
Well, that's the only way I would get some service. Call 911.
I see the direct number to dispatch is 490-8599. I mean, I don't know how to tell you. We can roll it over.
I just gave you a suggestion.
Roll it over to each police officer.
What's the first?
Oh, the chief, who's in charge that night? I'm sure you have duty officers. Do you have not have a duty officer?
I have one person working at a time.
Okay, then that duty officer should have the number. You should be able to flip a switch, okay, that all incoming phone calls are Rudy Police Department roll over that duty officer. We can answer the citizens of Rudy call without us having to go through the sheriff's department.
Well, we're all part of a cooperative endeavor.
Is this the is this the sheriff's office or is this the 911 office?
911.
I'm telling you, it's broke.
Okay.
All right. Listen to the citizen. The system is broke.
He just called.
Okay.
So
it's broke.
I'm willing to do whatever we need to do to fix it.
Okay. I just gave you a suggestion. You seem like you're resisting against it.
I'm not resisting against it. Okay. I'm saying we pay a tax to a communications Homeland Security Center
to
dispatch our office.
Well, maybe we're wasting our money with that tax then. Okay? Maybe we're wasting our money.
Mayor, what number did you dial?
I dialed the 749 number right over
here.
The people at the 911 office.
Okay.
What time is it now? So if it was 5:00, I guess change the shifts or whatever.
No, that phone should be forwarded at 4:30.
And it was busy for 13 minutes. I even showed that officer that came to my house, my phone, where I kept calling.
And we're gonna find out what day it was. I'm gonna find out what happened that day.
You know, it's just unacceptable. You know, I could see somebody crawling somebody back window. Soon they call, and I call the police. You can come in soon. I don't want to call 911 because I'm not sure.
I agree.
I will,
you can give me the date. I will find out what time my phones were forwarded and find out why dispatch didn't pick up or it was busy for 13 minutes.
I want to know what we're going to do to fix it.
Okay.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, this is a start to the remedy of it.
I'm getting to you in a second. I'll tell you what day it is because I got it right in my phone. Okay, you can carry on. I'm having my say.
Thank you, Mr. George.
As far as more police officers, I would love to, Mr. Jordan. I'd love to have two or three.
Well, we keep getting more surface in, and we got one person on there tonight.
I would love to have more. I'm not in control of that.
Okay, well, who's in control of that?
These guys.
These
guys on this panel have to give me the budget to do that.
You can't fire or hire nobody. You can recommend. That's all you can do.
I can recommend what I have for the spots I have budgeted. That's correct.
That's right.
Now, I can come in here and recommend to hire four more police officers. Okay? It's up to these council members up here to approve that and to allocate that money into the budget for four more officers and vehicles. And I don't have a problem with that.
Well, we got seven of them. How come we don't have one on there tonight? That's what I...
Well, two are in the schools. They are resource officers at the schools. That's their full-time job.
I think, if I recall, I did that back when I was on the council, got the resource officers. So we haven't done anything beyond that. You know, I think
we added one to the middle school.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Are resource officers not regular officers?
They are regular officers. And they do cover shifts when we're short-handed or whatever.
But we short-handed, Jamie.
I mean, as far as people taking off. I understand we don't have enough officers, in your opinion. I'd love to have 200 shifts.
So that's not your opinion that we short officers?
No, I said it is my opinion.
Okay.
That I'd love to have two more. Two per shift or three per shift like Addis does. Okay, and I'll be more than happy to recommend to this council for more police officers.
How many Addis has?
Addis has two officers per shift.
How many total officers they have?
I'm not sure on that. No, eight at least.
Now you're comparing apples and oranges because Addis is a city.
And they don't have schools.
But they have eight.
They have eight that work shifts. Cool. I know they have a detective and they have an assistant chief, so that's 10. They don't have any schools, so they don't have any resource officers in the school.
Do they support our school officers?
No.
They don't?
No.
All the kids come from Addis, one.
Right. We had that discussion.
Very good point.
I'm not bringing it up. I know the answer.
Very good point.
Just getting it on.
But I would be more than happy to recommend to this council to hire four more police officers where we can have two per shift.
And then I would love fishing.
I would love to see that.
We're not being protected. That's what I'm saying. Not a happy camp about it. What's February 28th?
February 28th.
What day is February 28th?
Friday.
So when it was Friday, 4:58.
Okay. What about the point that was made that we have officers on Highway 1, but we don't? We don't have officers inside the on the main three main drag strips, the Aline, Live Oak, and Ori, the straight streets.
We've written tickets on the street. I can move. That's no problem. They'll be on Ori Drive tomorrow.
But not just Ori.
No, they're on Ori Drive, and we're going to take them to the streets.
They do drive down our street on Arlington Court, but there is a lot of speeding that goes on, even on that daily.
There's a girl in a white hatchback, I don't know, one of those foreign cars. If she wasn't going 70, she wasn't going 2. When she passed in front of my house, coming from the front, she had already picked up to that speed by the day. She wasn't coming from the back, she was going to the back. And Paul Blanchard yelled at her. She was, you know, screaming.
They get yelled at by a lot of people. Mr. West yells at them on a regular basis. And
yeah,
so
well.
They have no fear.
We spend a lot of time on all these cars. And at one point, we did our warranty. We had the traffic sign down on the
street.
We sat out and ran radar down there. We moved from street to street. But we all back there, too.
I live more beds on the street.
You'll see them some more back there. That I can take care of.
He's right, they do fly down Ori, because I see it on my back lot all the time.
Thank you, Mr.
Jordan. You done?
You're more than welcome. I don't
mean it. No, that's fine. That's why I suggested you come. Because everybody in this table, everybody in the audience, everybody, the chief, everybody needs to hear that. Because it, you know, if I come in and say a guy told me this, it doesn't come out the same way. Just don't. Yes, sir.
What happened to our sign? Used to give you the speed.
It's actually blocked in right now by the construction.
It's
So the full-time officer we're hiring now, that's just a replacement, it's not an extra?
That's just a replacement.
What about Mr. Jones? Was he another full-time officer that was recommended? Was it Jones?
He's right there.
He's right there. He was recommended. Yes, he was.
And we still have a police committee right now. Anybody? All right. Governmental affairs, and I'm not aware of anything. Other matters, reimbursement of towing and bond charges for traffic citation. There's a Mr. Williams who was stopped by a Brule police officer, temporary. And he was subsequently, his car was towed, and he had to go, he was put in jail, brought to the jail, and he paid charges. And he is requesting the charges for his towing and his bond, I guess it was, in the amount of $290. He asked me to bring it before the council and discuss it.
Has his ticket come to court?
His ticket has not come to court. That's not part of this reimbursement. He's got a court date of April, I believe it is. I'm not sure. It'll be either March or April, but when he comes to court, that will be adjudicated separately, so he may be fine. But he's asking for the, he feels like he was brought to jail unjustly. According to his side of the story, he was stopped for a window tint. He was handcuffed. His three children were in the car. His wife was on her way. And he was brought to jail unjustly. And the officer who did it is in the audience here. He wasn't officially an officer with us yet, but he was on the, in these deals where the chief can hire an officer when somebody quits between council meetings.
And they'll actually know the officer and the sheriff's deputy there also.
Yeah, okay.
In my opinion, I think that this should play its course out in court. You know?
That's why I was asking if we can make it.
No, the case that's going to play out in court is whether his window was tinted or not. That's what he's charged with.
And he went to jail because he refused to sign the ticket.
Okay, but that's not going to be adjudicated in court.
When someone offers you,
that's not going to be adjudicated.
You have no choice but to
just a second.
To jail.
Hold on a second. I'm clearing up Jamie's misconception. What would be adjudicated in court is whether he had a tinted window or not.
Okay,
that's what he's charged with. He's not charged with anything that has to do with resisting arrest or anything like that.
Okay,
is he?
Not far as it knows.
Okay, he had one ticket on the side of the road, and then he was brought two others the next day.
Correct.
Right? And those charges are tinted window for one of them. What was the second one?
I like the second and third. I wrote a window tint, which was the PC.
Yeah, but one of them was like the fake, what do you call it, a fake. That'll be adjudicated for. What's the third one? Hold on a second. Only one person's going to talk at a time.
Mr. Richard asked me a question.
It doesn't matter. He's not supposed to talk either. So if only one person's going to talk at a time, okay? You're not going to have a separate meeting on the side. We're addressing Jamie's question. From what I understand, there's three charges. Window tint, obstruction of view or something, whatever you just said, fake inspection sticker.
Yes.
All three of those are going to be adjudicated in this court, whatever day that is, whether he pleads guilty, not guilty, whatever. Mm-hmm. Him being carried off to jail is not a charge that will be handled in court. It needs to be handled by the council on whether we reimburse this guy's money because we feel like he was brought to jail unjustly.
The money reimbursement is the bond for the ticket, right, for the charge.
That's the fine. The bond fee is the bond on
if,
a ticket.
If you give him
that's
the bond,
not included in the $290.
That's the tow bill. That's something
separate. It's the tow bill. Just I forgot something else.
When you don't sign a ticket, you're signing a ticket is your bond.
Yeah.
It's not an admission of guilt. It's signing you will appear on before your court date. That is your bond on that ticket. When you refuse to sign a ticket, you have to be booked.
It's the same as a misdemeanor summons. You book them or misdemeanor summons. If you won't sign the summons, I have no choice, or any other officer has no choice, but to take you to jail to get you to do a bond, to accept.
I just don't want to set a precedence where we have people come in and make a complaint, and then they're getting back there towing fees and bond fees.
That's why I asked my question, to make any kind of decision before it's determined.
I was not very...
But let's make sure we understand what we're talking about, okay? Let's make sure we understand what we're talking about. We're not talking about whether he's innocent or guilty of the three things that he was charged with.
Correct.
We're talking about whether he was sent to jail for what he alleges is a illegal window tint. Okay, why was he sent to jail? Why was he brought to, why was he handcuffed and brought to jail?
Because he refused to sign the citation.
Okay.
Which is your bond. If you don't sign that citation, you go to jail.
All right.
You pay a bond fee on that charge, which is $100 per charge to get out.
Okay. So that's why he was brought to jail?
Yes, sir.
Is that resisting arrest?
Yes, it is.
Well, then why was he ticketed for resisting arrest?
It's resisting.
He even pulled his arm away in an aggressive manner. I could have charged him with that, but I tried to give the man as much break as possible, just like I tried to give to everybody.
I mean, we're not...
To not sign the ticket.
I mean, I have no choice but to take it to jail. I don't think we should do that. I think we should let this situation play out in court before we make a decision.
He's not charged with anything that, he's not charged for anything that he brought and went to jail for. He's not charged with anything he was brought to jail.
He's charged...
Yeah, the window tint.
Going to jail for not signing the citation.
Okay, then how would that play out in court if he's not charged with that?
Because...
If he's found not guilty, they would...
He's charged with a window tint.
Okay.
Mayor, I don't...
Why was he brought to jail?
Mayor, I don't think you understand.
Oh, I know, I understand much better than you think I do.
For failure.
For refusing to sign the citation.
Okay, is there a charge against him for failure to sign a ticket?
He can be charged with...
Is there a ticket right now for him failing?
I'm not going to argue, Mayor.
No, I'm not, no, you're the one that said it would all be done in court.
I just gave my opinion.
Okay, your opinion is that he should, it should all be handled in court, even though he's not charged with that. Is that your opinion?
I think the council should make a decision if they want to reimburse the tolling and or bond fee after he appears in court. I think it's kind of prejudiced that the guy's coming here and laid his own case out already.
Okay. So you think we should decide whether he had bad window tint, an illegal MPI, and his review is obstruction, and if he's guilty on all three of those, and he comes back and says, I want my money because y'all towed my car back, y'all towed my car and sent me to jail because of resisting arrest, and I wasn't charged with that.
He refused to sign his bond.
And that is resisting arrest.
It is. You don't have to talk to him.
You don't have to charge somebody?
He was booked on a window tint.
Yeah.
Because he refused to sign that.
Because he refused to sign
it. So you brought him to jail because of a window tint?
He refused to sign it.
He refused to sign it.
If it would have been... Am I the only one who doesn't understand?
You need to get a ticket.
Hold on a second. Does everybody understand this except me? Everybody who understands this except me, raise your hand.
I got a question.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, you would have raised your hand. We have 4 people who...
Mayor, if I stopped you outside for speeding,
right?
Okay. And you refused to sign the ticket.
Correct. That's resisting arrest.
No, it's not. That's a separate...
I can charge you resisting for it. I don't have to.
I know.
I can still take you up there and book you for the speeding offense.
It's a procedural.
Yeah.
It's a procedural thing. Signing the ticket is the bond. If you refuse to sign the ticket, the only way that bond can be set is for you to be brought to jail.
Thank you.
For the bond to be set.
Okay. So he can be brought to jail without being charged for that, for resisting arrest.
Yes.
Resisting following a criminal...
I mean, I'm asking the lawyer. He's neutral. I mean, he should know.
He doesn't have to be charged, but the fact that he refuses to sign the ticket...
He doesn't have to be charged to be brought to jail.
No.
Okay.
But he's required to be brought to jail in order for a bond to be set.
Thank you.
He's refusing to follow the normal procedure, which is...
Thank
you. Doesn't matter what he's charged with. If he refuses to follow to sign the ticket...
Got you. Okay. I understand.
Then which is exactly what I did.
What? What you got?
Everybody that doesn't sign a ticket, have we ever not taken people to jail if they didn't sign a ticket?
They don't sign a ticket. They get
everybody booked. Always. We have never not taken anybody to jail.
You can ask anybody on the road for any parish, city.
No, we're talking about the ruling. We're talking about
ruling. Have we ever not taken anybody to jail that didn't sign a ticket?
Never. You don't sign a ticket, You have to go to jail because your bond has to be posted. The ticket is not an admission of guilt. It's your bond. You're signing saying you will take action on your ticket on or before your court.
Well, you just, you know, you said you didn't want to set a precedent. I was making sure this is not a precedent.
No.
You don't want to set a precedent paying the money back.
Sir?
You don't want to set a precedent paying the money back.
Pay money back because someone comes complaining in a meeting that we pay in a towing fee or whatever, you know, that we're giving money back on a towing fee.
Well, I told him I'd bring it up.
Had he had a warning before? Or was, had he had a warning before? Or was just a...
I never have. I don't know.
A warning of what, Ms. Rose? Before this traffic stop?
Of the tent.
Of the tent? I'm not sure.
I do.
I'm not sure. He wouldn't even give me a written complaint, so... I mean, there's no law stating that officer has to give a warning.
Okay. So, what is the pleasure of council? I mean, we're not voting tonight. You want to put it on the agenda or just drop it?
My personal opinion is that it sounds to me like this is a court issue.
Okay.
Separate from the hiring of police officers.
The court, this mayor is not going to order the town of Brule to pay him back his fees, I can tell you that. And I'm not doing it. I'm going to either find him guilty or not guilty, and he's going to pay his fine. But I'm not going to order anybody to give their fees back unless y'all tell me. You
know, his fine money?
He gets that back when he comes to court.
Right, towards his fine.
Yeah. I want to talk about the towing charge and one other thing. I can't remember what it was. It's a small amount. Towing was like $190 and I don't know, something.
So his bond money is $100, you said?
Yeah, bond.
Every bond for the town, traffic bond is preset at $100.
For violations.
For violations. So if they're booked on five traffic violations, their bond is $500.
So he would actually get that back?
It goes towards, if he's found guilty, it goes towards his fine money.
If he's found not guilty, then it would be refunded back to him, yes.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to recall what the original discussion was. Was there a question about whether a proper procedure was followed in terms of him being given the opportunity to have his own choice as to who towed his car? Was that an issue or am I confused?
No, I don't recall that.
No, he didn't ask for a specific record.
He didn't ask for a specific record. Okay, I'm probably...
No, you're thinking of that.
Thinking of one for a few months.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
His Harris's.
He came, I think he ended up coming in and paying it.
Different.
That guy, I think he came in and paid it.
Okay.
Yeah, this guy actually would, he wouldn't have wanted anybody else but them to tow his car.
Okay.
No, that's a different guy.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just...
All right. Okay, well, if nobody, the council wants it on the agenda, it won't be on the agenda. All right. Next item, flood damage prevention ordinance. Patricia is our flood plain person in the town.
Management coordinator.
If you, that's what you say she is, that's what she is. She received something or in some way found out that there's an ordinance that is recommended by FEMA that we enact in the town, which is very similar to what we already have. But by enacting the ordinance, we have to enact the ordinance or people will not be able to buy flood insurance in Brule. So it's something we just need to do. They give you the ordinance and it's a fill in the blanks, town of Brule. If y'all want to read it, I don't know if I sent it to y'all yet or not. It's very boring, but it's very close to what we already have. So I definitely think we need to introduce it at Monday's meeting and then, you know, talk about it, do whatever that we need to do to get it passed.
Does it require a separate chapter or is it fit into one?
I think we already have a chapter that says that. And I think, I didn't study it that close.
It sets the base floor elevation.
It sets all that, yeah. The real reason for passing it is that people will not be able to buy flood insurance in Brule unless this is part of our ordinance. It's what I'm told.
But so does that mean if we already have flood insurance that I'm paying for nothing?
I have no idea.
There's Chapter 15 flood hazards.
We know you flood.
I have no idea. No, there's. Cheryl, maybe, you know, it has a whole other month to be talked about before we even vote on it, but. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we have...
As I understand it, you know, these things are changing, just like they're arguing in Congress right now about whether to pass this new law And I think this is a change that you have to implement by a certain date or the people will not be able to buy. But I can find out the answer to that.
But it's okay for the people who already have the flood insurance.
Oh, yeah.
They should know.
As far as, I didn't hear anything that anybody's getting canceled, but I think the purchase of it in the future, like maybe when it's renewal time, they won't let you renew it if you don't have this in the town.
I know in the past, some local governments have adopted the National Flood Insurance Program ordinance, and they didn't follow the requirements for the base elevation of the residential structures. In other words, they allowed them or didn't inspect them close enough to make sure that the elevation was what the ordinance said it had to be. And so later on, they were cited and had come back, and it created a big problem. So if and when, I think the program's a good program and we should adopt it, but I think we should make sure that we utilize the parish inspectors or whatever. If they're enforcing the parish ordinance, we ought to,
It looks like the last time we did anything on this particular chapter was 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
So just to make sure that we're following it.
The good news is that the entire town of Bruley, except for behind the levee and outside the city limits in the woods behind Sinclair,
is out.
None of this is a flood zone, so we don't really have a dog. I mean, there's no, I agree with you. You and them need to be aware when they inspect that, you know, what flood zone we're in, but we're not in a flood zone at all. So
we used to have a little bigger section over here, and we put two 48-inch culverts in years ago, and it took that area out.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, from what Patricia sent me the maps, and it's kind of PDF, and you got to kind of play with them a little bit. But from what I can tell, from what I know, is it doesn't even start until you're way back at the end of Live Oak, back in there before you get into the flood zone. Yes, sir.
That last rain we had here, I had 3 inches of water on my patio.
Uh-huh.
But I got a sump pump I put on the back. I don't know what could have backed that water up.
Couldn't tell you. I mean, wasn't that big a rain?
Has anybody checked that tongue guy out? So he got any kind of blockage back there?
There is no blockage in the town limits.
Yeah.
Outside the town limits, I don't know.
That's from back of your house over here. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That was only like 2.5 inches. That really wasn't that big a rain. I know we had trouble on Aline Street because the leaves completely covered every end.
Are they still going to have sand back if we need sandbags?
For the next few months, I don't think so. But we're going to have a place for that back there. Sandbags or the
I
purview.
Got sandbags. I bought.
Sandbags or the purview of the 911 office. We talked and talked and talked with them about doing something better, and they just said, if you have a problem, call Dino. So we put his number out there on a big placard. If you have trouble flooding, you need sandbag, call Dino.
Oh, my God. I just need sand. That's all I need to know is that.
So we need to introduce this next week.
Right? Yeah, just introduce it, and we'll have time to read it and talk about it in detail in the following month. Okay, next item is discuss remarks of personal privilege and public comments. Fish sent me an attorney general's opinion, and without getting into how it actually is worded, what it basically says is you must allow the public a chance to comment on any item on the agenda that requires a vote prior to the vote being held. Now, there's two ways to do it. There's more than two ways to do it. There are two ways that would seem obvious. One of them is you move remarks of personal privilege or public comment or whatever to right after the roll call, which is covered for everything on there. And like I'm supposed to ask if there's any comments on the meeting minutes or the adjournment or anything that we're voting on, I'm supposed to ask. And I do, and y'all always see that I forget at least once a meeting. You can do that. You can move the public comment part up to after the roll call, which meets your legal duty for the whole meeting. Doesn't mean you can't comment later on. You can't ask for open comments, or we can continue like we are, where everybody's got to hold that breath to see if I remember to ask the public if they have any comments, and comments for each individual vote. We can do both. We can put a public comment thing at the beginning, And we can have remarks of personal privilege at the end, which I kind of like, because that's where we usually get the most good stuff is at the end, right after everybody's got a chance to think about what else is on the agenda. So I'm not recommending anything. I'm just saying we need to cover that one way or the other. We need to make sure that we do it one way or the other. Now, if y'all have a preference, I emailed it with Shane. He said he didn't care. And I don't know if any of y'all even care.
I personally prefer to leave it like it is, because what I think is going to happen if you move a remark of personal privilege up to the front, then you're opening the whole agenda up to jumping around to different comments on the items without keeping it segmented where you talk about
it. That's exactly what the intent of it is. If a person looks at the agenda and says, I want to comment on the investment report, that at the beginning, right after roll call, they get up there and say, I think that investment report's a bunch of BS, and I think and then you're not even on that item yet, you just sit there and listen and say, yeah, okay, thank you. And then when you get the item, then you know it's kind of like it defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
The only real negative of calling out each particular time is that one of these days, if I get in a hurry or some future mayor gets in a hurry and skips over it, and how many times have y'all said, oh, you skipped over this, I can't even stay on the agenda. I skip over items completely sometimes. So everybody's got to remind me that I got to have public comment for everything, including the meeting minutes, including the adjournment, you know.
Or just put public comment at the end of each one of them. That maybe will help
okay,
you.
Okay, good.
It won't hurt.
But I mean, I don't have a problem leaving it like it is.
I like it like it is. I think it keeps it
flowing. All right. Just leave it like it is. No problem. Fish, has Lou gotten back with y'all on what y'all going to do?
No.
Yeah. You think he's losing a lot of sleep over that?
Lou is in attorney's time, which is nothing to do with people time.
See, yours is about like last week was like the seventh item, right? It was kind of like a couple items going by. Which
attorneys don't go by the same clock everybody else goes by. Let me say that.
I've noticed that. Ooh. All right, mayor's report.
I resemble that remark.
Orleans West, at the end of the first phase of Orleans West, we marked on the calendar when we actually accepted the subdivision, the final plat. And we put in our little trusty computers 11 months later to go back out there and do another inspection, at which time we found that the road had failed in several places. We contacted the contractor and the bonding company, wrote everybody a letter, and told them that, we had a problem. Well, the contractor took it upon himself to go out there and patch those places because I had verbally told them, I want to meet with the engineer and the contractor before they do it, because I want to find out what the root cause of the problem was. I want to know, I suspected what it was, but I didn't know for sure. So anyway, he patched it, and we went out there and told him, said, we still got to have our meeting to decide why this happened rather than just, patch it. We don't know, where we're going. So we finally met with him, must have been after Christmas. There was various reasons. He got sick, and then we couldn't meet. Anyway, to make a long story short, we agreed that he went and purchased another bond at 6 months in duration for the first filing. And so we're going to keep an eye on it, and we're going to go back after 5.5 months and check and make sure that there's no additional failure. Oh, I don't know. He bought it in February, so whatever 6 months of February is.
Right.
February 11th or 13th or something, yeah.
When he patched it, did he do anything to the subbase?
Oh, yeah, he went down a foot and he filled the whole thing up with asphalt. No, it was a good patch, okay. But that's not my issue. My issue was the real root cause, which led to phases 2 and 3. Well, come to find out, they didn't lime treat the area below the base in phase 1, but they did in phase 2 and 3. So we have reason to believe that there may be a better chance of it holding up. Of course, we're going to go back at the 11 months after the final plat for phase 2 and 3, and we're going to go back and check the roads. And by that time, they will have a bunch of construction going on back there, so it'll be really tested. And speaking of that, Wayne signed, well, I signed, at Wayne's request, the 45th building permit out of 77 lots in Orleans West. They already have 45 building permits back there out of the 77, so they're plowing ahead. Speaking of Wayne, Wayne is back. He was sick for almost 3 weeks, very sick, and he is feeling good. He really is feeling good. Wayne always says he's feeling good, but he really is feeling good, and he's he gets a little weaker faster than he should, but he's doing good. I can tell he's doing really good. And Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, and Friday, as part of my sitting on the board for the Municipal Police Employees Retirement System, they had a symposium in New Orleans. Right at Mardi Gras, so all these guys coming from everywhere else can enjoy it. There's almost nobody there from Louisiana. But anyway, I went there, and it's all talking about investing and all kinds of stuff. There's some good stuff in there. It was, you know, it was all right. But one of the things, I don't know if y'all read in the paper, these people in California went in their backyard, and they found these tin cans with all these gold coins in it. The guy, one of the investment firms has a guy who's an expert in coins, and he happened to be in New Orleans. He had already been on CNN and Good Morning America and all that stuff that morning, and he was there, and he had one of those coins. That one coin was worth $1 million. $1 million. He had that coin, and he showed it to everybody. I mean, that one coin.
Did you touch it, Joe?
No, I didn't touch it, but a lot of people that did. In fact, somebody the second day, they said, the guy from the symposium says, listen, he says, we found a BlackBerry that was missing, you know, and a guy in the audience says, hey, he said, why are we talking about missing? He said, I found a gold coin yesterday. If anybody's looking. But these people, now listen to this, these people found these coins in their backyard, and they brought them in, and just washing them, they put them in the sink and washed them. It reduced the value between $3 and $4 million. Yeah. Just one?
You know,
no, the whole group. Oh. I think the whole thing is worth like, I want to say $14 million, some millions and millions, but they don't want to know, they don't want anybody to know who they are. They're very secretive about it, and this guy's just handling the brokering of it for them. But yeah, they found these gold coins. They had a few of the coins were minted in Georgia, so they think this guy must have been a miner who didn't trust the government, or somebody turned everything into gold. He bought some in Georgia, he bought some in Texas or something, and then most of them were from California. Yeah, it's neat. It was, I mean, that's really neat. I was impressed. But that kid had coin right there, one of those little plastic sleeves, said this coin right here is $1 million. They sell them on eBay. Believe they have, you know, they have it set up with a special thing on eBay where you can bid on it, and some of them up to $500,000 already, and he just put it on the day before or something. But anyway, it's interesting. That's all I got. Remarks of personal privilege. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sure that a lot of you know about Donald Manuel. Just saying a little extra prayer for him.
Yes, Donald Manuel is in Houston. He has a problem with his, I won't get into the medical part of it. He has a serious problem. They're going to be running a bunch of tests in the next few days. If you look at him and talk to him, you wouldn't think he has a problem, but it's serious, and you need to be thinking about Don. He's been a good employee of ours for a number of years. Thanks for bringing it up. Anybody else?
Anybody opposed to having Dino come next week to give a speech about how?
Oh, no. You want him to come to the regular meeting, or you want to come to the next?
The regular meeting. I'd like to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking of the reasons we have dispatch. It doesn't roll over to an officer type stuff.
Yeah, it's I was involved more. I was once called the president of the communications board. And if that thing is rolling over to 911 instead of the sheriff's office, which I thought it was rolling over to the
sheriff's office, we all consolidated, remember?
No, I'm talking about if it's rolling over to central communication.
But there are no more sheriff's office dispatch.
I didn't know that.
It's all central communication.
I learned that tonight.
You were on the board.
I know, but I didn't know Bruley was rolling over to that. I thought Gail told us it rolls over to the sheriff's office.
No, that's what it used to do.
Well,
when we went to this communications.
Right.
Board that you were president of, that eliminated all.
Good. Okay, well then that really troubles me that a guy is not getting back in touch with a citizen in for 14 minutes.
Right, that's right. And I have
and they record everything.
That's correct.
And so...
And that's what I want to explain this time, is if we roll the dispatch over to the guys, he's the only one that hears that phone call, he goes get out on the call. Nobody has a clue where he's at. When it's dispatched, the way it's supposed to work, when you call that number, they're supposed to answer. They dispatch him, they log in the computer where he's at. Other officers in the area can hear from Addison, West Baton Rouge. They can come on the scene. Everything he relays to dispatch is logged into a computer. But I understand they change shifts at 5 o'clock, and I have a problem with them.
You know, crooks know that too.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have a problem with whatever happened over there, that it wouldn't answer for 13 minutes.
Well,
I was busy.
I would like, Jamie, I would like for you to get the time and day that Mr. Jordan called.
Got it.
The 14 times or however many he called.
February 28th.
And I would like specifically, and I can't order anybody to do anything, I would like specifically for Dino and them to listen to the tapes and find out why it took that long for that one individual to get that. Because we hear this all the time about it. We can't get hold of the police department. I mean, I hear it all the time. I don't even pay much attention to it anymore.
When them phones are rolled over, we've never had a problem with our phones rolled over.
But we have a test case here. I know Dino and Rick Boudreaux going round and round about this. I know Rick Boudreaux knows like the best of anybody. You can go and get the tapes and you can listen to what happened. And when Dino comes, I'll call, well, you call Dino and tell him you want him to come. And I want to talk about that specific case next week. I would like to know.
I'm going to have a week.
Call number one was at 503-05. Call number two was at 503-16. I'd like to have a specific blow by blow on why it took that long. Because that's it. That's what Central Communications is supposed to do, is get people out fast. That's the reason for it. That's why it exists. And get the right people, and like you say, and to have more than one person. When they're dispatching an officer, there's a lot of people can hear it. If they need to have a Canadian ambulance or somebody out, they can get them all at one time.
Parents here.
Yeah.
Well, the officer has to call and request for a case.
No, I understand.
458 was
I thought I had the wrong number. I had to call 411 to get
just
the
number. Just a real quick question.
So, go ahead.
Did they pick up the bags?
I even called. They didn't have numbers.
The second, the week, the week beginning the second Monday of the month. That would be next Monday for that whole week. They may not pick them up on Monday. It might be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's the entire week, as long as we put them out like that on Monday.
That's right. Now,
if they're on schedule.
All of a sudden, no. They're usually on schedule. Now, let me explain this to you. You may see if you have something that's heavy in your front yard, like branches or something like that, you may see a truck come down and they'll be picking up stuff and throw it in the truck and they'll pass your house up. Because they try to pick everything they can up by hand and then send the grabber out when everything is done. So we get calls all the time. Oh, these guys passed already. I saw them. They walked my street. They passed and they called. They missed my stuff. Well, they missed your stuff because you had heavier stuff and they will give it to the grabber, like a sofa or something.
Yeah, we just have bags.
All right?
We just have bags.
Well, bags, in, I think.
Yeah, see,
they don't pick everything up the same.
How many bags you got?
We're not a 2709.
Eight or nine.
Okay.
Do y'all have a 2924 at the town?
I see
what's happening. It's not that bad. They looked it up in the phone book.
I didn't look it up. I called 411.
411 gave him the school resource office.
Oh, goodness.
Number at the high school.
I called that.
Okay. Then they gave him back. They gave him 749-2709. It's 2970, which just goes to our office.
Okay.
2980 rolls over.
All right. So we had
bad phone number.
Bad phone number.
I'm going to give you the number.
Is he on drugs? Is he taking drugs?
I'll take plenty of drugs. I was drug free that day.
All right, Ms. Bourgeois would like to say something.
The Household Hazardous Waste Material Day is this Saturday, March 8th, at the Lewis A. Moot Arena on Court Street from 8 till noon. So that's for West Baton Rouge Parish residents. And we had flyers that went out with the gas bills, the utility bills, that showed what kind of materials you can bring there. But that's our annual hazardous waste day.
All right, Fish, you last, as always.
Real quick,
I did want to say, let's get with Dino. That's under the parish's purview, so.
Yeah, but we'll get with him.
I don't think we're okay.
He's not going to be limited to 5 minutes, I can tell you that.
Well, I will.
Not Dino.
The parish did, Mr. Peewee did recommend a new fire chief last meeting that we went to. Voted on Mr. Charles Stevens, the assistant chief in Port Allen. Vote was 9-0 to take him in as our first fire chief of the entire parish. It's going to be a little learning experience here, but I think Charles has hit the ground running. He's already had a few little snags, but he's going to work through them, and we'll evolve into something that I think we all can be proud of. Mr. Bob, I do want to tell you that this wind that has been coming up over the last couple of weeks is blowing dead out of the north.
Yeah.
That is keeping that water pushed up in that Tonton Canal, and it just will not get out because the wind is holding it back. Now, I don't think there's a blockage, but I'm just saying, if the wind's that strong, that water's not moving out at all. Mr. Jordan, you said you're going to be involved?
Yes.
I say good.
Good.
We need citizens that care about this town. So you come over here and you do what you need to do.
I will.
I will say this about speeding. Everybody probably has a problem with speeding past their house. Not me. Nobody will ever speed past my house.
You know the end of the road?
End of the road with about a 30-foot canal right there. If they do, they're going in a canal.
But
other than that, they're exactly right. Jamie was correct. The council, and you understand that because you were on there, they approved the positions, but the management of the police department, I wish Jamie was sitting right there right now, the management of the police department is this man's responsibility. Nobody up here. These people cannot tell them how to run this police department. We learned that the hard way.
I understand.
Okay? It's his job to manage his officers, where to position them, what to look for, where to work. Okay? So I think we need to all work on that. And tomorrow night, I want to say, I know Mr. Norman will not be in attendance.
That's right.
Because tomorrow night is Tuesday night. Brule is in the state playoffs. They had 32 teams when they started. They're down to 16. Brule is one of 5 teams in our district. All 5 teams in our district made the playoffs, and they still ended down to the final 16. And we play U-High, who has 2 fantastic high school players. And,
they might have come from Glen Oaks, huh?
They did.
Yeah, that's what they did. Glen Oaks didn't even make the playoffs this year. Ain't that so?
First year.
Well, Glen Oaks players made the playoffs, and Glen Oaks didn't make it.
So, Brule's got their hands full tomorrow, so I'm certainly going to go support them.
Is that home?
And anybody else?
The home?
Yes, sir. Right out, right here.
Mr. Jordan, what he's talking about, I'm not going to the game because my wife told me I get so mad when we play these recruiting schools. I get so furious because of the recruits they have out there that I make an ass out of myself. Because I'll get so mad. If they play in a public school, I'm cool. I can play baby or not, everything's fine. But I just can't control myself. It makes me so mad.
I'll be
my wife does go, I might go with
Okay, let me reiterate because Jamie stepped out. But when I told Mr. Jordan, I'm glad he's going to be involved, that the hiring of the police officers is a council decision, but the management of the police officers is your decision.
Right, right.
So I think you've got to get together on both sides of that.
Absolutely. So, I'll be meeting with Chair, who's our police committee chair.
Okay,
we're going to discuss.
Well, I'm glad you came, Mr. Jordan. It's been a long time since you've seen this.
Yep.
Fish.
And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I wanted to catch Richard before he got out. Our water tower, as I recall years ago, I think there used to be a light on the top of it. And I know there was 2 lights that shined on the Brule at night. Then, after several years, the BRU light burned out and it said Sly for several years.
That was very Sly.
You know? Okay, now it doesn't say Sly. Would you check and see if there's a requirement to light the top or some FAA requirement or height requirement? I don't know that
there is. You've got to have an FAA permit on a tower. If you get one and you put a light on it, you need to keep it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we had one.
That's the biggest misnomer on towers.
I just think we need to check on the liability if we have had a light up there and it's not burning.
Okay. And then the two lights at that street would be nice.
I'm not changing.
No.
You know, we can get some of them smart lights on the road there.
Go version of spray cans. About two orange kids,
I'd like to touch on one more thing real quick. The other day we did have a break-in at Brule Evans. The guy kicked the door in, he got about 6 feet in the house, the alarm went off, he ran out, so he didn't get anything. And me and Terry had this discussion the other day, a lot of people that have alarms on their houses, some of them don't use them. This family in particular had theirs set up. The alarm company calls them and asks them if they would like a police officer to respond to the scene. Okay? Then, when they say yes, they have to hang up, then they call dispatch. That added, and Dean will help us get these calculations and recordings. That's why we know this. It took an extra 5 minutes. It took Tom 2 minutes from being dispatched to go on 1097, which arriving at the scene. But according to the alarm company, it took 8 minutes, but that was because of that extra phone call. And I would recommend anybody has an alarm set up to call them and tell them don't call you first, to call the police first. Get the police on the way, whether it's a false alarm or not. We go to all of them anyway, but they're wasting valuable time when they call you first. And talk to you for a couple minutes and then...
David, why don't you talk about peddlers? Because David Toops talked to me about it Saturday.
Yeah, I called you on that.
No, you called me, but he talked to me again about it Saturday.
We had some guys, they got ran out of Brule. They were selling magazines door to door. I think they made 2 sales in Brule before we caught up with them. I told them to get out of town. They didn't have a permit. I think they had done it in the parish also. Addis got a call, I think a couple of them ran from them in Addis, and then Plaquemine ultimately called me because they seen the Brule checks. They had the people in custody, and they seen a check from some people in Brule, so we arrested them for soliciting without permits and all that good stuff. All in all, I think they had about $800 on them between the three of them, and they had receipts for actually about $300 of that. So what they're doing, they just follow the magazine order thing and throw it away. It's a scam. It's a scam.
But David was telling me, and you may probably verify this, is that a bigger concern is that these guys are using that as a way to case out places before they bust into them.
Exactly.
Like knocking the door, hey, would you like to buy a magazine? No, okay, I don't want to buy that. If you're stupid enough to give money, yeah, but even if nobody answers the door, that might actually be worse.
Well, I can say that these three guys that were arrested, I physically laid eyes on, it's not the description of the guy that went into the house.
But David was saying he read it somewhere or somebody told him whatever that he was worried about that part of it more than the magazines.
Yeah,
magazines, you're stupid if you give them a check anyway. I'll give them money.
Jamie, all alarm systems, do y'all require a permit here or?
No, ma'am.
Do y'all charge $25 when you get 3 calls?
No, ma'am.
So
that's probably why.
Yeah, anybody come talk to you, we got like 10
that's probably why most alarm companies recommend
well, that. Well, in Baton Rouge, they do that.
They will tag you $25 when all
this. We are coming to every alarm call.
Okay.
I mean, it's important. Those things, this guy left.
Because when the power went out the other day on Orleans, I got a call from my alarm company. Call batteries back.
I just recommend that if you can, tell them to call us. Even if there's power out, we're going to go out there and check your house and make sure all the windows and doors are secure.
Well, the reason I ended up knowing it was power out is because I have energy plugged in as well, and I got a text from energy saying power went out. So I need
so
that.
You've been going so long enough with that. You have it under adjournment. Town hall will be closed. That's after the adjournment. Okay, announcements. Anybody else? Announcements. Town hall will be closed March the 4th for Mardi Gras, which is tomorrow. And do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Mr. Richard, second. Mr. Neal, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any comments at all? Adjourn.